Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people. Today is Monday, April 1st, 2013. Yeah, it's April Fool's Day. My name is Sally. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. And I titled the show tonight, 2013, America, Land of the Free, April Fool's Day. It's not that it's funny, but the fact is we are just not the land of the free like we used to be. We have lost so many rights and so many people are being fooled by it. And so that was kind of why I came up with that for the segment today. Excuse me. But before we get into some of those details, a couple of things to mention. Thursday's show, we're going to be talking about Common Core, so please tune in. Common Core, which we'll talk a little bit about it later on through the show, about how Americans are being fooled, how we've been brainwashed and indoctrinated, basically. The educational system is a key to fooling the American people and brainwashing and manipulating the society so that we're no longer free. Common Core is a major, major piece of that. We're going to have an in-depth discussion on that Thursday night, so please tune in. And then the other thing, I'm going to mention this right off the top because it just was so annoying, and it is one of the topics as we talk about Americans being fooled. Why are Americans really this foolish? How can we be fooled so easily? What is it we're not paying attention to? What part of this don't we understand? You know, why do we keep letting this happen unless we're a bunch of fools kind of thing? And Fort Hood, you may remember a few years back, there was the Fort Hood massacre. It was the jihadist, the Muslim guy in there who shot a bunch of Americans. He was a military person, a military officer, and he was doing his own jihad thing, whatever. It was truly an act of terrorism on the base by an American soldier. And this all was happening, and, I mean, those who really pay attention to what happened there, it was all because of political correctness. They knew this guy was al-Qaeda, a jihadist, Muslim, anti-American. They knew this about him by things he had said. But because he was a Muslim and they were so scared of the religious aspect, they couldn't even defend their own people. They couldn't even defend the fort. And so anyway, so this guy literally launches a single attack, a terrorist attack, killing, I think it was 13 killed and then another 17 injured. There were a lot of people involved, and I'd have to double-check my numbers just to verify that. But it was a massacre, and it was a terrorist attack. It was a jihadist who happened to have gotten into the military and killed a bunch of Americans and injured many Americans. But today, and you may have heard about some of this discussion, those who were injured through that attack are not going to be awarded the Purple Heart because they don't want to call it a terrorist attack. The White House occupier wants to have a clean slate of no terrorist attacks on U.S. soil while he was the White House occupier. But the truth is there was a terrorist attack right in our own military. And because truly the military allowed it to happen because they would not challenge a Muslim, Islamist, jihadist, whatever you want to call it, individual who hated America, who was actually part of the army or the service. And so they're denying those who were wounded the Purple Heart because they have to, one, protect the White House occupier. We can't say that there was a terrorist attack on the soil. And two, because of this mentality about protecting the Muslims. It's despicable to me. Those who have been denied the Purple Heart are very frustrated, and I believe they are right to be frustrated. It's a terrible way to treat our sincere, honest, patriotic veterans military. And so it's really disgusting as to what they've done. They're giving more protection and more concern for the terrorist than they are for the American. And there's just something seriously wrong there. Something is sick when the United States government cares more about the terrorists than they do the American people. And there again, if you want to call it April Fool's Day, whatever, who do you think this American government is protecting anymore? Because I just don't think they're protecting us. I think they think we're all a bunch of fools, and we believe all the crap they put out there. So anyway, I think that's really terrible. And anybody who wants to talk on that, please feel free to. It's just despicable that we honor the terrorists more than we do the Americans. And we will not give them, or will not honor them with a Purple Heart for being killed in the line of duty, truly. I mean, they're trying to call it workplace violence or workplace, I don't know, they're calling it something else instead of calling it what it is. That's because we have a government that's so corrupt, so crooked, it can't tell the truth about anything. But they say, this government, the gang of 545 in Washington, D.C., the American people are just a bunch of fools and they'll believe anything. We can tell them anything. We can sell them anything. We can brainwash them and anything because they're just a bunch of fools. And they're doing it and they're getting away with it. You've heard me say in the last few shows, and it was off of the article from Charlie Reese, I think it was, the 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians. If 300 million Americans cannot control 545 politicians, then we're a bunch of fools. And what better day to talk about being a bunch of fools than on April Fool's Day? And, I mean, if anybody can prove to me why we're not, why 300 million people cannot get this government under control, cannot have an honest election, cannot demand they stop supporting the special interests instead of us, give honor to these individuals who were sacrificed at Fort Hood, there's something wrong when 300 million people cannot control 545. And if it's not foolishness, what is it? So on that note, as we talk about the various things, I just kind of came up with a list of things that I call, you know, whatever happened to America, land of the free, home of the brave, America, it's April Fool's Day in America, North Korea, here we go, there's another war, what's the nonsense, what's the craziness going on here, and what everything to do with it. I mean, it's obviously there's a new leader in North Korea who isn't very experienced, who's trying to show some kind of strength on his own. Where is that all going to lead? And what is our White House occupier doing on it? Then the Fort Hood terrorists, like I just mentioned, denying American veterans and the families of those who were killed, the Purple Hearts. Then we have, and I'll have to dig up the email that I saw coming through today, the White House occupier is apparently putting out new executive orders changing our election process. It's the king. The king has arrived. We don't have a president anymore. You're being fooled if you think we have a president. We have a king. We have a dictator. We do not have a republic by any means. We really don't. Do we have more of a republic than, say, China? Well, for right now we do, but we're going downhill fast. But we definitely do not have a republic. We do not have the freedom and the liberty that we were founded on. And if you think we do, you're a fool. You are truly a fool. But right now, we've got the White House occupier out there writing executive orders to change our elections. And what is the rest of the gang of 545 up there doing? Going along with it? What are they? I'll try to pull up that email I had on that today just to get a little more details on that. But, I mean, the nerve of the White House occupier to just thinking rewrite. He's rewriting everything with this country, whatever he feels like. He didn't do it alone, though, people. He didn't start it. George Bush Sr. started One World Order. And George Bush Jr., George W., he helped out with it. And then the two houses of Congress. They say the American people are just a bunch of fools. We can do whatever we want because they're too stupid and they're just a bunch of fools. And that's why they do it. And they get away with it. And then we have the brainwashing of Americans via public education, which is what we're going to talk about on Thursday, Common Core. Common Core is about as communistic as it gets. It's a massive, massive... I mean, I remember when I was going to school, which I did go to public schools, we used to get classes, you know, in either government or world history or whatever. You know, they would talk about in other communist countries like China, how they would teach their kids the education. They would start, you know, right away, kids were brainwashed into believing that America was bad and communism was wonderful, that you had to have a controlled society, that people were too stupid to survive on their own, too stupid to decide what size drink they should have, and they need government to give them a place to live and tell them what they're going to do for their life, that it's no such thing as free will. And through Common Core, C-SCOPE in Texas, C-SCOPE, as I understand it, isn't quite as bad, even though it's going down the same path as Common Core. It's massive, massive indoctrination of the young people, of our next generation. And it's already been happening to a great extent, but not to this extent, not to this massive extent. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. And again, the best thing, if you've got children in school, you need to be homeschooling them. The worst thing you can do for your child, if you care about your child, take them out of public school. If you hate your child, then leave them in it. If you believe in communism, leave them in it. If you believe in one world order and government controls everything, socialism, then leave them in Common Core. But if you happen to have any loyalty to this country, to what it was founded on, the founding principles, and you want to see your child be free, you better get them out of there. Excuse me. And then the other thing, again, you know, we've heard a lot about this, but the way the game is being played, again, it'll be another American April Fool's Day in America, Americans being fooled, Americans being disarmed. The games are playing to take away the guns. We have a right, we have a Second Amendment, but they're playing games with the UN Treaty, Small Arms Treaty. They're going to surrender our rights, which is what they've been doing little by little, surrendering national sovereignty, surrendering the rights of the American people to the United Nations. The United Nations is going to control everything. One world order. George Bush Sr. started it back in 1992. It's not new, people. It is not new. But that's what's happening. And there are some Americans that are so foolish as to believe, and you have to be a fool, I'm sorry, if you don't understand the Second Amendment, and as an adult, if you truly believe the right to own a gun is so you can go duck hunting or deer hunting, you are a fool. And they know it. And they know there's plenty of you out there. The notion that you can end massacres and all these murders by disarming the honest people is so stupid, but they figure the American people are fools. The average American's too stupid to figure that out, right? And somehow these people, they figure the American people are so stupid, so foolish, the American people are actually going to believe the criminals are going to start to follow the law. The drug lords are going to start following the law and stop smuggling drugs over the borders. You know, that, hey, Americans are dumb enough to believe that, right? Well, that's what they want you to believe, and that's what they brainwash you on. How can anybody in their right mind truly believe, how can you truly believe that the criminals are going to stop getting guns? Okay, so let's arm the criminals to the max and disarm the honest people. That's what the government wants you to do because they think we're a bunch of fools. They think the American people are this stupid. It's despicable. Like I said, what better day to talk about what is happening with our country today? And are Americans really this foolish? Are we really this dumb? I mean, at times I just don't. I get scared. The indoctrination, the Common Core stuff that has been trickling into the school system. We've definitely been dumbing down people. People don't understand what true principles mean, don't understand believing one thing versus another. We can get into the marriage thing on that. marriage, the definition of marriage between a man and a woman, it doesn't mean there can't be civil union. It doesn't mean, some of the craziness of what has happened with those who, gay marriages, same-sex marriage, some of the things that happen there, I would agree they're not fair if that's what they choose to do. But marriage isn't the solution. Have a civil union, or you change the tax laws, you know, and you do other things. There's other ways. You don't have to destroy marriage. But we have, we're going to see what the Supreme Court does. But it's kind of like saying, okay, there's a definition of marriage, what it's been for years and years. There's a definition of what being an atheist means. So we're going to say, well, now atheists can now believe in God. It's the same thing. Marriage is between a man and a woman. An atheist is a person who doesn't believe in God. Well, are we going to come around and say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. When you say something about atheists, you're discriminating against all the people who believe in God. That's how much sense it makes. But these people think Americans are just too stupid, can't figure it out, we're a bunch of fools. And changing the meaning of marriage does not fix the problem. They need to go out there, and civil unions, I have no problem with if those people, I don't necessarily believe in it. It's not something I would do myself. But as in a society who with freedom of religion, if you happen to think same-sex is okay, then have a civil union. Don't try to destroy the marriage. And more importantly, is the state should have the right, the people at the state level should have the right to vote on what they want their state to be. It's not for the federal government to intervene in it. It is a state's rights, and the people should have the right to vote on what they want in their state. And if they don't like what their state does, then they need to move to another state. And you know what? If you're living in one state that has a ban on same-sex marriage, and you move to, or you live in a state that allows same-sex marriage, and then you move to another state that doesn't, that's your problem. That's your choice. You didn't have to do that. You did not have to do that. So anyway, it's just one thing after another. The Americans being disarmed. Then we have the Americans being detained on U.S. soil, NDAA. And you've got, it doesn't matter what party these people are in. The gang of 545 in Washington, D.C., both sides voted to take away our rights. So if you're foolish enough to follow the political parties, you truly are a fool. If you think the political parties stand for anything, it's one big party. You have the group of the politicians. They do not care about the people. It's really just that simple. And then we have the Patriot Act destroys our rights. How many Americans did not understand what the Patriot Act was doing? How many of them didn't understand? And so, again, I'm just saying this is April Fool's Day. Are Americans really this foolish? Do they not understand? Why don't Americans understand this? What part of do they not understand how the Patriot Act destroyed so many of our rights, all in the name of security? So we have a government, 545 versus the 300 million Americans. 545 are brainwashing the 300 million to say, all in the name of security, we have to do this to keep you safe. We have to take away your rights so you can be safe. What is that doing, people? What, do you not understand it? If there's anything on this you would like to join in on the discussion, please do. 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Press 1 to speak on the air. Then the other thing, and I'm going to continue on down my list here. You know, America's for sale. And again, if any American does not see this, then you're not paying attention. Or you're a fool. You know, how can you not see? They literally are selling off the United States, most of it going to China. But they're selling it off to foreign entities, selling off our interstate to foreign corporations. And some of them are going bankrupt, by the way. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But they're literally selling America off. And what are we, 300 million people versus 545, what are we doing about it? Most of us are doing nothing. So we are sacrificing this country. Because what, I mean, maybe we truly have been converted over to a totally communistic mentality. And that would have been done primarily through the educational system, through a welfare state, to think that government should do everything for everybody. But it totally diminishes anything that being an American is about. Because being an American is about being an individual. You own your vote, you're independent, you have a mind of your own, you're not controlled by the government. So what part of this do Americans not understand? Why are we 300 million people not able to control 545? Why are we letting 545 destroy this country? And then as saying America for sale, yeah, I'm making the prediction. Because I don't think we're very far away from this. You know, through our history, we talk about the Louisiana Purchase. Well, now we're going to have the Great Chinese Purchase. In so many ways, China already owns this country. And it's because of those 545 people and because of 300 million people letting them do it. When you think about how much money, and yet we give billions in subsidies to China while we owe billions to China, and China has taken ownership of much of this real estate. The great Chinese Purchase. When is it going to be completed? If we, the people, don't do something and stop being foolish, it's going to happen pretty soon. Much longer. And who knows, maybe all this craziness with North Korea is some trigger of the events. I don't know. I definitely can't predict the future, but I definitely do believe China will take over this country because we've allowed China to buy it. We are so in debt to China that China owns us. But D.C. doesn't want you to know that and doesn't want to talk about it. The other thing is, next on the list, illegal immigration. When you think about what illegal immigration really means in the grand scheme of things, it means we have no national sovereignty. Anybody can come and go whenever they want to. They come, they don't typically go. And illegal immigration are those who walk in the front door legally and never leave, and those who cross the border unauthorized. It's illegal. It's a crime to be illegal. But you know what? This government doesn't seem to care about the laws. Depends on who they're trying to woo for a vote. They don't care if they destroy this country. And how can they do this? How can 545 people do this while 300 million stand around watching them? Because they say the American people are too stupid and too foolish. We can brainwash the American people any way we want. And we see it happening. Like I mentioned earlier, the executive order. The White House occupiers going out there changing the election laws. And I'm going to pull up that email in a few minutes here, and I'll read more of it to you. But via executive order, we have allowed, and this is the 545 who do this, who are supposed to be representing us and defending our Constitution, who have allowed the White House occupier to be a dictator, be a king. Do whatever he wants, executive order. If Congress won't do it, I'll write an executive order. And he's not the first to write executive orders. He's not the first to skirt the system. But why is this happening? Are Americans really this foolish? What's happened to the American people? Where are we on this? Why do we allow this to happen? And what are we going to do about it? Is anybody going to stop it? And then all these different pieces are all part of the same thing that's happening, the destruction of the United States. 300 million people versus 545 politicians. Somehow the 300 million people can't seem to figure out what to do with the 545 crooked politicians. They're not all crooked. I'll say 5 to 10% might actually be halfway decent and honorable, who truly believe in the Constitution, who truly govern by the Constitution. But that's about it. The rest of them there, they seek wealth by going into public office. They seek wealth by sacrificing the people. And they believe in progressive socialism, communism, one world order, which takes me to the next topic. United Nations One World Government. Those 545 people are supporting One World Government, and it all started with George Bush Sr. back in 1992 with the Rio Doctrine. And they are working to destroy this country while 300 million hardworking, decent Americans are being sacrificed. And why are we being sacrificed? What's happened to protecting us? Well, you can go back to the Fort Hood thing. We have people actually in our own military, jihadists in our own military, killing Americans, and a White House occupier who won't call it what it is, won't say it's terrorism, because that's what it is. So one world government, that's what they want. That's what the White House occupier wants. That's what the two houses of Congress want. And, of course, you can make up your mind of what the Supreme Court wants. What are they doing these days? And that's where we're heading. And why is it happening? If Americans aren't fools, what are we? Well, I mean, how do you explain the complacency of the American people to let this country be destroyed? I think it's the Canadian Press website out there that says, you know, if America falls, there is no freedom. America is the only place. And if Americans just sit on the sidelines and let this fall. And, I mean, some of those are truly have been re-indoctrinated to believe that communism is better, that one world government's better. Just imagine what they're doing. The UN Small Arms Treaty, that's the way they're going to try and get around the Second Amendment. They're trying to play all the games they can to have background checks and all this other stuff, which there's so many things wrong with what they're proposing there. But if that doesn't work, Plan B is to go to the United Nations and to violate our Constitution via the United Nations, which is the point of going to one world government. The Agenda 21 sustainable development stuff, it is all supporting one military power on this planet, and it won't be the United States. It will be the United Nations. That's what it is. I wish I could tell you this was an April Fool's Day joke, but it's not. This is what's happening. And it's happening because 300 million Americans sit on the sidelines doing nothing. Or many of the 300 million, not all of us. And most don't even want to believe it. Most bury their head in the sand, don't even want to talk about it. Or they say, oh, that can't happen here. No, that can't happen. And when they tell me that, when I hear someone say, oh, that'll never happen here, I say, well, 9/11 will never happen here either, right? Wake up, people. Stop being foolish. And, oh, yeah, Hitler was just a one-time thing, right? The fall of Rome really didn't happen, right? This is what's happening to our country. And so many Americans are so naive, foolish, whatever you want to call it. And a big part of it, especially with the younger people, is because of the educational system, the indoctrination being done. So again, I'll remind you, please tune in Thursday for Common Core. We're going to get into that in a lot of detail. But when I talk about this too, I also think, I was talking about the same-sex marriage, what it means versus civil union, same-sex marriage. And, you know, I was listening to some of the Sunday talk shows, and they're all saying, well, the attitude of the American people has changed. And you go out there and you say, those under the age of 30 all support same-sex marriage. That's really not a fair thing to say, because you're talking to people who don't are younger and don't truly appreciate what it means. Because, one, the indoctrination of public schools. But, two, these people are at an age when they are learning who they are, if you will, young adults. Young adults are saying, well, why not let others do what they want to do? And it's really not a matter of, again, the civil union should be the option. You shouldn't redefine marriage. You should have civil union for those who choose a different lifestyle. You should not have to destroy marriage, the meaning of marriage, to allow two individuals of the same sex to have a relationship. And if you could get that message into the younger people and more understanding of what the definition of marriage is, then I think you would see something different. And I personally believe those younger people, as they get older, will change and say, no, that wasn't right. That wasn't the way it was. That wasn't the best way to handle it. And they will also say, for those who actually do get to learn anything about history and learn what the difference of federal government versus state sovereignty is, would say it's a state issue and the state should deal with it. But because right now, because of mass media brainwashing out there and the public education and the fact that the slanted media doesn't talk about that other aspect of it, doesn't talk about, it's not a matter, you know, we're not, whether you believe in same-sex marriage or not, you're in a society that allows you that right. Okay, same-sex, it's a civil union. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about redefining what words mean. I mean, they're out there saying the Boston Tea Party was an act of terrorism, but they don't want to say what Fort Hood was an act of terrorism. These people are manipulating anything and everything. And the thing with marriage versus a civil union, that kind of thing, I will compare it to me to an atheist. It's like, well, wait a minute. Okay, an atheist means you don't believe in God. Okay, that's fine. That's what it means. You don't believe in God. Yes, and as an American, you have the right to be an atheist. Okay. Now, does it mean because you have a definition of what an atheist is that you are now discriminating against those who believe in God, and so now you need to call everybody an atheist because you're discriminating against those who believe in God? It's truly no different than what's happening with marriage. It's the definition of marriage. Have civil unions. Don't call it marriage. You're changing the definition of marriage. So what else are you going to change? Now anybody can be an atheist, whether you believe in God or not. Well, wait a minute. Okay, anybody's a Christian, whether you believe in Christ or not. Wait a minute. That makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So leave the definition of marriage as it is and provide another option as civil unions for same-sex marriage. That's really all it takes. It's really nothing more to it than that. The other thing, as we talk about losing our freedom, losing any liberty, any rights, let's face it, EPA controls our property rights. See, EPA decides what you can do on your property. Between EPA being one aspect and then government, other agencies, you're not allowed to do what you want on your own land anymore. And all the different games they've played with wetlands and trying to, after people have legally bought the property, went to build on it, and then change all the rules. And just like we had a guest on here a few weeks back about Baker's Green Acres, a farm, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, hounding them for the type of pigs they were raising. And these pigs were being raised in a much more organic, green environment than many larger ranchers. But it was the Department of Natural Resources siding up with their cronies, their special interest cronies, to take down a family farm. They haven't done it yet. And Ron Johnson, by the way, for those who aren't aware, Congressman Ron Johnson has a program out there for victims of government. Victims of government. I saw this on Greta last week one night. And I sent an email to Ron Johnson in reference to Baker's Green Acres to let them know that the Michigan Department of Natural Resources is trying to tear down this family farm. It's so anti-American and so wrong. But why are 300 million people letting it happen? Are we just a bunch of fools? The government seems to think so. And the sad fact is, most of the time they win. We did have the case out in Idaho where the family was building, and they actually fixed part of a creek or something and actually helped the water flow better. And then EPA came in and condemned them and started charging $10,000 a day, all sorts of nutsy penalties. But luckily, they eventually did win. So what does it mean to be an American? Where are our liberties today? What do we have? Are we just a bunch of fools pretending to have liberty that we don't have, pretending to have freedom we don't have? It's disgusting. And on the note of property rights, truthfully, you know, when the founding fathers were here, the right to own property was so critical. You cannot have liberty without the right to own property. But the fact of the matter is, Americans don't own property. The government does. We don't pay those property taxes. They take it back. They lease it to us. That also is very, very anti-American. Totally against what this country was founded on. Totally against the founding fathers' beliefs of the right to own property. And little by little, we're being taken. Our rights to own property is being taken away from us. Land is really taken away from us. And if you have a house on that land, well, guess what? You're going to lose it all because you didn't pay that property tax. And they can tax you on the house as well, because once the house is there, the tax goes up. Government owns the land. Where are all the Americans? 300 million Americans versus 545. Are 300 million Americans all foolish? Are we all nutso? Why do we let them do this? And will Americans ever stand up for liberty and freedom again? I don't know. I really don't know. Well, and it's kind of interesting. People talk to me about some of the various things I've been working on lately and how I continue to fight the toll roads. I continue to fight the selling off of American infrastructure to foreign entities. And they say, why are you still doing it? I said, well, if not me, then who? Every American looks for somebody else to do it for them. Yeah, somebody else will take care of it. I'm going to bury my head in the sand and somebody else will do it. But that's kind of the mentality. And that's why we're dying. That's why the United States has fallen. China's just going to come on over and say, well, okay, we're calling in the notes. Thank you. The great Chinese purchase has just taken place. And now America is no longer. And I just don't think that's as far of a stretch as people want to think it is. Freedom isn't free. You must fight to protect freedom every single day. You must constantly be involved. There's Reagan who said it too, and I haven't got his exact quote in front of me, but he was saying, you know, it's freedom is only one generation away. And right now we're less than a generation away. The generation, those that are in the public school system today who are being indoctrinated into socialism, communism, we're, you know, truly the baby boomers are the last free society. And we're not really free anymore these days. We've lost so many of our rights. But we were the last free society. The rest of it's gone. And all because Americans were brainwashed, distracted. And, I mean, people sometimes get annoyed with me when I talk about pro sports. Pro sports was a big distraction. How many people can tell you, you know, history, the last several years of the Super Bowls and the champions and the quarterbacks and whatever else is going on, but don't ask them what the 16th Amendment is. They'd be lucky to know if the Second Amendment is. Don't ask them anything about that. Don't ask them, is Obamacare constitutionally legal, especially after that crazy ruling you had from the Supreme Court? And I'll tell you, with what Roberts did, I don't see how anybody in their right mind, unless you're, you know, the American fool again, how can anybody think that Roberts was not bought off in some way, somehow, some way? Either somebody blackmailed Robert to come up with that craziness of what he said, or paid him off, bribed him. I will never believe for a minute that Roberts thought what he did was right. I will believe he was bought off somehow, some way. Best government money can buy. That's why we should never, never have Supreme Court justices for life. There's got to be a better way than these Supreme Court justices for life. They're despicable. And then the other thing, which I mentioned a little bit earlier with the executive order, total corrupt elections. Obviously people who were pro the White House occupier, they're jumping for joy that, you know, he was reelected and everything. But if you really get into the truth of the matter, Was it truly an honest election? I don't for a minute think that the 2012 election was honest. I don't think the one before it was honest. I've seen firsthand how the electronic voting machines are corrupted. Anybody, if there's any kind of electronics in it, without a double check, a minimum of two checks to validate that things are working, check and balance, then they're corrupt. Not to mention, a bunch of veterans' votes never even got counted. Not to mention, in certain communities of the country, 110 people voted. 110%. How can you have 110% people vote if you've got 100 registered voters in a community? How could you have 110 people vote? And that's what was happening. Illegals were voting. Corruption of that ballot box. We do not. Anybody who thinks that we have the representation of our choice is truly fooling themselves. Truly, truly fooling themselves. Because we don't. And a while back, in fact, almost a year now, May 4th, 2012, Charlie Klein and I went out and we submitted our We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment to the FBI. We hand-delivered it to the FBI in Maitland. To this day, they have never rejected the complaint or the request for the investigation, but they've never done anything either. They never put anything in writing to say that they weren't going to do anything because they'd rather just treat us like a bunch of fools. But let me tell you, I'm going to be sending something back out. I've already got several copies of it, and I'm going to be sending them out, and I'm going to be putting another cover on it. Now I'm going to be talking about this executive order that's going out there trying to change the elections, and I will get to that shortly here. I'll go back to that email, try to find my email to read that, what I was reading on that. But the FBI has the power to investigate government corruption. And that's what the case was about. That's what We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment was all about. So it's not that they didn't have the right to do it or the authority to do it. They did. And they never denied that. They never once came back and said, it's not our authority to do this. They never answered. They just totally ignored us because that's what government thinks of the people. But I will be responding again. If I had enough money, I'd make about 100 copies and I would send it all over the place. Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of money, but I'll send out as many as I can. I'll definitely be sending one to the director of the FBI in addition to sending another one here to the local Tampa office, Maitland office, and then I may send it to a few other offices. Just depends on how many copies I can afford to send out. But I will do it again. They're going to get another May surprise, I should say. May 4th, whatever. Then we have, we talk about all these things, putting it all together. Who are we and why? Faith and hope in America. Well, how much faith do we have? How much hope do we have? Where's the future? And I don't know about you out there, but I did watch the Bible over the past 4 or 5 weeks. And I found it interesting in so many ways. And it was supposed to have been, I was hearing major numbers of worldwide viewing of this. Christianity is definitely in full force out there, even though our own government wants to deny it. Our own government is out there promoting Islam and Christianity on this homeland, which is so despicable. But that's what's happening. And why is it happening? What about, where are the Christians? Out of 300 million people, how many are Christians versus the various other faiths? So why are we allowing this to happen? But as I watched the series, you know, there's certain things that were true then and they're true now. And it truly was Christianity that was changing the attitude of people. And it was Christianity that was not about war. But the other religions, the other gods, war. Constantly, this total mentality that the gods are in charge and the rest of people are the peasants. And if you don't do as you're told, you will be killed. You'll be stoned. And if you talk about Jesus, you'll be stoned. And you just think about what that was over the series, and I just kept thinking, you know, when you look at where we are today and where it was back then, in so many ways, we're just not that different. As far as being civilized, more wars are still fought over religion than anything else. Who can deny that? If you don't believe it, if you don't, what do you think the war is going on today are about? Truly, what are they about? Of course, some say it's about oil, but in the overall scheme of things, it's about religion and some territory. People going after each other for religion. And then you think, and everything that I've always been taught about Christianity, and of course what was being demonstrated on the series, is that Christ was a caring person and believed in faith, hope, and love. And that was what we were supposed to be. That was, and you think what this world would be if the majority of people believed that way. Even if they believe it was something, maybe it wasn't Jesus Christ, but they were not out there to take down the infidels. They weren't out there to kill and destroy the other religion. Because that is going on today, too. It's so real. This is so, this what I was watching on the Bible, and then you just go and relate it to what we see happening today. It was so true. And then we go back to the founding fathers who believed in religion, who believed in God. There's a lot of going back as to Christianity and what their type of faith and those kind of things. But they believed in God. And Adams and Washington said it many times, it takes a moral society to be a free society. A free society cannot survive without a moral society. And Jefferson frequently said, believe in God, but always challenge and to understand what God wanted and what it is and what it all means. But it's just, I just found it really interesting as I was watching it. And they play reruns of it during the week, so I'm going to be watching some of the reruns of it during the week this week. But it just makes you realize there's something instinct. Some people seem to do think they are better than the rest. Who on this planet today is truly worthy of being a god? And, or are we all truly supposed to be equal? Because there's definitely these people who think they're God, or of a God, or some type of God, because they think they should rule and control the world. Now, on more of an April Fool's Day joke, whatever you want to call it, Bloomberg apparently thinks he's some kind of a God. He seems to think he controls us. He's supposed to tell the peasants what they can eat and what they can do, and make sure that they drive the right speed and don't smoke cigarettes, and because he knows best. God knows best, right? I mean, Bloomberg, well, what other thing can you say about him? Well, the way he's done this. And because he's wealthy, he takes those billions of dollars, and he's out there penetrating the other elections, corrupting the other elections, using his money to slant the message and not allow for a true open dialogue, because he knows best. He's going to buy off the elections, which then again goes, anybody who thinks we have the representation of our choice, no, we don't. Not at all. And Charlie and I used to say, and I still believe it today, we can't change anything if we can't have an honest election. Well, what does it mean when Americans can't have an honest election? When we cannot elect the people of our choice, because we can't today. So who's in charge? 545 gods? They all seem to think they are. They put themselves well above we the people. They don't seem to think we have any rights and we are just the simple peasants. It's not our government, it's theirs. They're the ones dictating to us. That's the way it is. And then, when we think about what we are as Americans, what is America? What's it all about? Are we truly still a moral society, or have we lost our souls? I think a lot of us have lost our souls. And I think most of them go to Washington, D.C., and public office and other places. While I keep talking Washington, D.C., I see a lot of it happening at the state level as well. It's not just there. And you know, if in fact the American people no longer believe in freedom, no longer believe in the Constitution, no longer believe in the rights to own property, then that's, we should be a communist society. But the fact is, my own opinion, I do not believe most Americans believe that, but unfortunately they're sitting on the sidelines doing nothing about it. And it was even discussed on, well, it was one of the Sunday shows, don't want to say which one, talking about the fact that the Christians, specifically Christians, are too afraid to say anything. The white Christians are afraid to say anything. The Christians are afraid to say anything. And because of all this garbage that's been thrown out there, the rhetoric, the hate, the dividing people up, causing people to not be united as one, the true believers of this country, the Constitution, those who are true Christians, God-fearing people, they have no voice anymore. They have just suddenly said, you know, it's over. I'm not doing anything else. There's nothing else I can do. I've gone to public meetings. Doesn't do any good. The evilness has taken over. Satan has taken over this country. And I mean, and I hear they don't use the word Satan, but they say they give up. There is no hope. And this is the tail end, you know, the greatest generation and this part of the baby boomers when there was still faith, there was still decency, there was still honor, there was still integrity. And it wasn't everybody out there with their hand out for something free. Give me my free phone. The nanny state mentality. Americans used to be independent, free-thinking individuals, but we're just not anymore. And those who truly believe that way have run for cover. They're gone. There's a few of us still there. And they say critical mass, and that's where I keep having my own faith and hope that we're still going to survive, that this free society we've been given will still survive, is because it was critical mass. It was a few people that truly started the revolution, and the others came. Those who believed in it too followed. They weren't the ones who were going to lead the charge. They were too weak. But you have that critical mass that can take it, that will push it. And I have really seen some younger people who really seem to be into it too, who truly believe in liberty, who are sick of what this government's doing, sick of the way this government has overstepped its authorities, sick of the way it's treated us like peasants and fools. So there's still hope. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. People say, why do you keep doing it? Because they've given up. So many people I know have given up. Why do you keep fighting? Why, you know, it's live free or die. It's not my own words, but it's the truth. If you truly believe in what this country stands for, you will fight it till the very end. You will do what you can to protect it. And that's where I'm at. So, I mean, if I had more money, there's a lot of other things I could do. I could definitely do more to share information with others, share the truth about Agenda 21, share the truth about executive orders and now new election laws, share the truth about sustainable development in the UN Small Arms Treaty. I would be sharing that information as much as I could because that's really what it is. You've got to get people back on to what's really happening. They've been brainwashed so much from so many various sources and distracted. Brainwashed and distracted and taxed to death. Where you just you have to fight day to day to live. It's so despicable. But I'll do what I can. This talk show, it's my one contribution to the battle. It's my way to try to share information. It's my way to bring others to work with me. And those, transportation has been my big issue. Transportation is key to freedom. There are several things that once they control these various issues, they control everything. Transportation, healthcare, the food supply, communication, and of course, guns. When they control those, we are nothing. We have been totally, totally put down to being nothing but peasants, serfs. You will not be an individual of any kind of independent free will at that point. You will be totally dictated to by what the gods, the 545 gods, tell you you're supposed to do. So what are you going to do about it? And it was Kennedy who said, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. We have totally lost that mentality. It's totally the other way around now. What kind of freebies can I get from the government? And, you know, there's a part of me that kind of, if you've been a middle-class working person out there all your life, there's a certain element where you think, you know what, it's time I got something back. I have given and given and given and given and given. When am I going to get something back? But the sad fact is those who are on the receiving end don't usually give a whole lot. It's the middle class who keeps giving and giving and giving and giving, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And both these parties, they pretend to care about the middle class, but they're both destroying the middle class. They work in cahoots, destroying the middle class. I find it so interesting because Democrats are supposed to be so much for the working class. Democrats are the biggest threat to the working class. They show that, again, they want to keep the person down versus help them up by handing them a cell phone. By not giving they block the maximum amount of liberty and freedom a person can have that would allow them to achieve their goal. They control how much you're allowed to have. All in the name of supposedly caring about the middle class. They don't care about the middle class, not at all. And the Republicans don't either. They're all one big party. It's nothing but a gigantic liberal progressive party in Washington, D.C. 545 liberal progressives destroying this country. And if you don't believe that, then you're a fool. April Fool's Day, people. They are playing April Fool's Day on you to pretend that they're anything else. And, you know, I will stand. Yes, there are some true constitutionalists in Washington, D.C. 5 to 10% at the most. I'm willing to say 5% is probably a realistic number. 5% of those in public office today genuinely believe in the Constitution, whether that be the federal or the state constitutions. And I could stretch and say maybe 10%. I don't believe it's that high. All you got to do is look at what these people do, what they go in with, especially in Washington, D.C. Show me the last time somebody went in Washington, D.C., who left Washington, D.C. with less than they went when they went in. And it was Jefferson who used to brag that when he left public office, he was his personal wealth was of no difference. He left the same way he came in. Excuse me. He did not get public wealth by going into public office. Being a public servant isn't supposed to be public wealth, but that's what it is today. And who are the fools letting them do it? 300 million Americans. It's the absolute truth. So anybody, I've been rambling for the first hour now. Anybody who would like to join in. Tell me, what does America stand for these days? What are you doing? What do you think about the Fort Hood thing where they won't give the Purple Hearts to these people who were killed by the jihadists? What, isn't there something wrong when they won't call it a terrorist attack? What are you thinking about these things? And what about this? And I'm going to go to that email if I can find it quickly here. The executive orders to change the elections. What is it when that White House occupier can go out there and change our elections? And what about those two houses of Congress who sit there and do nothing about it? Progressivism to the max. Absolutely. Okay, now I've been looking at my messages, and now I'm actually flipping over to that chat room. Okay, we see Damn Mad Granny Taft out there. We have a guest out there, and we have Johnny. Anything you guys want to talk about, go ahead and put it out there if you'd like. And if you happen to know anything more on that information about the White House occupier and his executive order to change the elections, let me know what that was about. Let me forward that information. The other thing, we were talking about this, about the same-sex marriage, the meaning of marriage between a man and a woman, and same-sex marriage. This goes to what the Republican Party has become. The Republican Party slowly has been, both parties have declined. The Democrats have declined where they stood for the individual rights and protected the working class. Now they don't do that anymore. Massive nanny state routine, and now the GOP is going in that same path. So we got one big, massive liberal progressive party. RNC plus DNC equals progressive liberals. But I have kind of played a joke or a game with GOP. So GOP, if you reverse the letters, POG, what does POG mean? I'm putting it out there. The GOP now equals POG, POG, and they are a piece of garbage. So if you like that, start using that out there. GOP has been converted to a POG, a POG, which is a piece of garbage. That's my quote. And the other, as we're talking about the marriage in the Republican Party, it was Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona. He's part of the Gang of Eight on the immigration thing. And he is out there saying, when they kind of cornered him, I believe this was Meet the Press he was on, said, will the Republican Party, will the GOP support, endorse a candidate that supports gay marriage? He couldn't figure out how to say it. He said, yes, we would support one. I mean, in the end, he finally said yes. He said, I myself don't believe in it, but the party would support it. Right there tells you what's wrong with the Republican Party. They stand for nothing. The same on the illegal immigration, the Hispanic games, everything they're playing, the Republican Party stands for nothing. POG. GOP is now POG, piece of garbage. And Republicans, if you ever figure a way to actually stand for something and mean something, maybe somebody will believe anything of you, what you do. But right now, it's all one big party. The RNC and the DNC, it's all one big dumping ground. They don't stand for anything different. And you can see it over and over and over again in what they do. And when you come down to these core values, I see a couple people out there. I'll get to you in just a second. When it comes down to these core values, when the Republican Party cannot say, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and at the same time, being that we believe in personal choice, liberty, there can be a civil union or another means to address same-sex relationships. Not marriage, but relationships. Unions. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and same-sex relationships, unions, will be addressed with a civil union. That's really all the Republican Party would have to say if they had any brains. But I see a couple of people out here. I'm going to go to Nathan here first, and then we'll get to Mute Texas. Hey, Nathan, what's on your mind?
Hey, listen, what the problem with the Republican and the Democrat Party is the Democrats know that the Republicans can never, ever yell for the moral voters or make a promise for them to get them to the polls. So they're putting the pressure on them. Hey, what's your opinion of a gay marriage? Or what's your opinion of a gay president? What's your opinion? See, this is what the Democrats used to do. When you brought up one of these social issues, they would say, you know, I don't think the government needs to be in the bedroom, okay? This is not, you know, and it makes it sound like, you know, constitutionally that is right. It's not, the Constitution wasn't meant to settle moral issues. It was set to restrain the federal government, okay?
Correct.
But they make it sound like, you know, okay, he gave the right answer. Now the Republicans have to start giving that answer. But they're going to get in trouble, because they do not have a history that proves that they've ever been for any of these issues. That George Bush, back in 2000, before the election, said he believed in a marriage amendment between being one man and one woman. After the election, a reporter asked him, a Fox reporter asked him about that. He goes, well, I believe in a marriage amendment, but that's a states' rights issue, and I have no problem with the people putting amendments in their states. And that's when the people ran across the country staking down their marriage amendments. And then one judge said no. But you know, George Bush made it sound like he believed in a marriage amendment at a federal level. But then as soon as the Democrats get in, they start talking about a gay marriage at a federal level. But they're not yelling out, you know, now they're not yelling out, why does the government need to be in people's bedrooms? You know, so it's, they're managing the issue, and they're going to tell you what you need to hear for the next election. This is all I'm telling those people I know that teach the Constitution and teach people over the radio about politics. You need to hang your head in shame if you've made an oath to the Constitution and you've made an oath to the GOP. If you made an oath to the GOP and to the Constitution, you got a divided heart. You've got to figure out somehow or another how they reconcile. So we're never, ever going to take America back if you're going to depend on the two parties, because the two parties are one. They keep managing it. But listen, did you know the Republican parties in the last seven presidential elections have only won the White House two times? In the last 14 elections, the Republicans have only got a victory twice, 94 and 2010. There's a message there. The Republican Party has been rejected. They've been rejected, and now you got all these independents. So, you know, the thing is they have no – this is what happened in Iraq after Saddam Hussein took over. They had two parties bickering back and forth like that, and he was bringing them together, but then one day he had a meeting with all the government people in one big old building, and he started calling people out who have disagreed with him, and he would have them move to the aisle, and these soldiers would lead them off to their execution. And they made sure whatever they did, whether it was shoot them, cut their head, they made sure that the rest of these people either saw a picture of it or got to go by and see what happened to the guy. Okay, at that point, the two countries, the two parties, were united in the government. You either did what he wanted or you knew what would happen if you didn't. Okay, Obama tells the Republicans that sit on this side and the Democrats that sit on this side, okay, y'all need to sit beside each other. You know what he's done? He's tampered with their soul. He has put them, mingled them up, so it's hard for one side to cheer and the other one sitting there being quiet. He's made them one. You know, which they were already one. They have some slight variations in what what they want for the future of America, but they're both socialist parties. That you can't get around that. We don't have a rule of law that is measured by the Constitution. We have a democracy. It's all about the two parties bickering back and forth and trying to get more numbers for the other side to beat the other side. And all they do is take the pressure off each other from one election to the next. But you know, there's enough people sitting out there that will not go to the polls, that have voted, and their consciences will not let them vote. So they'll either stay home or vote for some no-name candidate just to encourage him in his efforts. But the Republicans and the Democrats know this. They have to appeal to the left. They cannot say they're against amnesty now. because they know that, you know, they will never ever win national elections. If they do, say they believe and they get people voting for them, then guess what? There's no difference. It's just a show. You might as well cut your TV on and watch a show, and that's all it amounts to. But we're still moving in a direction. So that's where the Republican Party is. And I'm just letting these people I know that teach the Constitution or have radio shows that yell out their Constitution, I'm saying, hey, look, you need to look yourself in the face and ask, are you a part of the propaganda? If you can do that, then you agree with it. But if you can't do that, and we got these religious media ministers out here that, listen, Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak bad of another Republican, it was neither constitutional nor biblical. And I believe if he was here and he heard that, he would think about it. But, you know, this mess, and you see this, they're bickering back and forth, but when we go into the election cycle, they try real hard not to say bad about each other. Because, you know, it's just a game, and that's okay. They're just trying to beat each other to the seat.
Well, listen to what they did when they were going after each other during the debates, criticizing what the other one believed in and what the other one was going to do. And then as soon as the debates were over or the primaries were over, oh, yeah, they're the most wonderful thing. It's like, so the hypocrisy is just beyond. But let me ask you now, obviously we've had the two different cases of the Supreme Court. What do you think is the appropriate ruling for the Supreme Court? Now, of course, what they're going to do is another story, but what the proper constitutional, if these people on the Supreme Court actually knew what the Constitution was, what would be the proper answer?
On the gay marriage, they
yeah.
need to say this is not the federal government constitutional role. They need to go back to the states, and if a state wants to allow people to marry, okay, first of all, it is not the Constitution that gives people the right to get married. That is a religious issue. God gives them the right to get issued. That's why I said, you know, where you send your kid to school, or if your kid's going to be involved in something that you don't like the people, or you don't like the lifestyle of people that are involved, you know what? That there's a state issue, but they always take it to the federal. But it's not the purpose. The purpose of the Constitution wasn't to make us morally in line. It's not a religion. It is a document that restrains. It was written for the purpose for the politician to stay out of the lives of the people in the states so that they can live their life. Listen, I don't have to like the way you live your life, Sally, but you know what? I can challenge your mind on it. We can fuss back and forth and never, ever agree. But you know what? I cannot cross that line where I'm going to walk up and kick your door down and force my way of living off on you. You know, we can just say, and if I don't want you hanging around with my family because I don't want you influencing my family, I have the right to say, look, we'll just wave at you over the fence, but I don't have to invite you to barbecues. I do owe you a certain amount of respect in that you are equal with me in the fact that you're a human being. All men are created equal. That means if you get out here and you work your butt off on your job and you do everything you need to get promoted and some other guy gets promoted because he came out with something that he does in his private life and you know that they're going to get sued if he doesn't get the promotion or if somebody else yells out their race, that's not the government's job to be doing that. You let people alone. Let them run their businesses the way they want. Let the government settle these issues. If a state wants to legalize marijuana, then, you know, the people can speak. The people ain't being heard at a federal level. And they ain't being heard. We got a state judge determining how a federal part of the problem is people don't know the Constitution, and the people who do, whenever you confront them with something, they think, well, you know, if I was to take a pure look and just say only what is written in the document, only the words that are written, and take them literally, then that would be bad for the Republican Party. Like, for instance,
right.
There is no Electoral College in the Constitution. That is something that is in our experience. It's nothing you can prove in the Constitution. There is no parties in the Constitution, and this is why I keep asking, why is it the Electoral College serves only the two parties, but all these other parties and no party affiliate candidates, they don't benefit from the Electoral College? Because it is the Electoral College and the Republican and Democrat Party are government agencies. There's your government, too big that they get to call the shots on what the game, how the game gets played. So if you don't want to vote, if you don't want to be a registered Democrat or Republican, then you don't get to vote.
No, you truly don't. And that's the other piece of this, where we have corrupt elections, and then I don't know what it is that the White House occupier is trying to do with some executive order. I'm going to try to flip over to that email in just a minute. But did you hear anything about an executive order where he's out there trying to change the election laws?
I think I've seen some headlines on it, but didn't look into it too deep because I've been real busy. But I will tell you on the executive orders, again, we got to go to the Constitution and find out how far does an executive order go. You know, a congressman has executive orders to hire people within his little office staff, the same with the president. But when you start making laws that this, we're going to do this in the military with an executive order, we're going to do this in whatever the area, that is not the procedure for making law. We got, like you said, 535 people that go through the debate and the issue on any issue. And when it's all said and done, they vote and send it to the president to sign it. And if he doesn't sign it, then they got to come up with enough numbers to override him. But it doesn't matter because, Mitt Romney kept saying this all through. And I get sick and tired of these radio talk show hosts that will pounce on Obama because he's up there with his executive orders. And you go back and look at every issue. Like Mitt Romney is going to use an executive order to overthrow Obamacare. First of all, he's lying because Obamacare was Medicare. Everybody from his health care's aide is now Obama's health care czar. These people just move from one office to the next. They're bullcrapping. But Mitt Romney, you look at how many times he's going to fix this with an executive order. That's the way a king does it. A king just decrees something, and anybody that don't fall in line gets mowed over. Okay? And we got these talk show hosts out here that's supposed to be yelling the Constitution. They'll yell against an executive order whenever Obama's talking about it, but when a Republican's doing it, all of a sudden they got dyslexia or something. I don't know.
Well,
I just, you know, the bias is not bias. It's propaganda.
Yeah, and now damn mad Granny Taft, she's got something on this executive order, so I'm going to get her into this discussion. And you're free to go ahead and hold on, because I love your discussion, Nathan, so hold on if you can. Hey, Ms. Texas, it's your turn.
Hi, Ms. Sally.
Hey.
Oh, what
doing?
A day.
Yeah.
Happy April Fool's before I start on this. Executive orders. I read, and I can't not for the life of me remember where I read it, executive orders are not in the Constitution. Executive orders were established by Congress. And they decided to establish this in case that if war was declared or an extreme emergency occurred and the president needed to be able to take actions without them there to vote on it, and that was to be the time and the only time that the president was to be able to use the executive order power.
You know, you're right, because one of the things Bush did so he didn't get caught up in the fuss with Congress over being in Iraq or Afghanistan, he funded, after the first budget, he funded the budget out of the way he would do FEMA if a hurricane hits a trailer park. He ain't got time for Congress. He jumps up and sends FEMA, and he starts giving money to people and coming up with what they're going to do to help first recover, you know, so rescue and then start a recovery program. You're supposed to do, like in an emergency. He funded every year he was in office, except for the first time, the war with like it was an emergency, like it was FEMA. He just said, here, military needs this, here, give it to them. And Congress was not a part of it. Again, going back to Congress holds the purse strings. And I found this out the hard way. Every time I'd hear somebody yelling about we need to get out of Afghanistan, I would call their office and say, hey, all you got to do is vote not to fund it. Boy, wasn't I looking stupid. They ain't even funding it. It wasn't being funded. They were not. And then whenever, you know, Bush does a bailout, all the Republicans like Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney and all these people were for it. But then when Obama's doing it, it's no, we can't do this. You know, stop the crap.
Well, am I still in the key?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had to go to Flash real quick. My question is, why, I don't want to say that. Where in the hell is Congress in this? Why, what this man is doing is against the law.
But see, that's
again,
why.
It's all one big party. It's all one massive collusion.
All throughout this, in the 08 primaries and election, people were screaming out, because he said it himself, his book said it, that he wasn't born here. People were asking, well, you know, it's an honest question to ask, is he qualified to run for president? Nobody would touch it, but people like
it was being touched. Nobody paid attention to it.
But in 04, whenever this guy comes out with a movie called 2016, all these Republicans and these Republican radio hosts are all telling you, y'all need to go see this movie. And my big question to every one of them, oh, you won't talk about it during the last election and in the 08 election, you won't talk about it for 4 years, but now you want people to go see it so they'll get scared and not vote for him. Why haven't you been saying nothing? Why has Rush, all these people not asking a fair question? Is he, you know, they keep saying, well, we need to beat him at the polls. It's a game. Rush makes more money. Well, he doesn't. He makes more money, but he's lost part of his audience.
Well, my thing is, it's not just Rush Limbaugh. It's a whole damn bunch of them. There is more than enough proof out there that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. If you don't understand what natural-born citizen is, go look up the case law. I can explain it to you. There is a difference between a citizen, a natural-born citizen, and a naturalized citizen. But what rips the hell out of me is you can't even find a legitimate judge in this country that will defend our Constitution. I don't care what party they belong to.
Well, there's Article 6 right there. They're supposed to stick to only the Constitution. They're not supposed that. You know, the thing is the only way America is going to be saved is if the people do it. And as long as they let the people in Republican radio and talk radio and the media, the two parties get us organized, they're going to just keep organizing us right through the chief gate.
Well, that's where my argument has been for the last 2 years now. It should be three, but I'm going to say two. How in the hell do you organize? If you can't get the word out, if you can't get your talk show host to talk about it, if you can't get the average person walking through the post office to pay attention to what you've got to say or to even give a damn about it, what are you going to organize?
Well, but you see, this is the thing. This is the whole thing about organizing. If you get 100 people and then you need to organize them, you got probably the 10 people at the top that's in charge of organizing them ends up not having the message, or their message doesn't fit the reason why most of these other 90 people are in. Because they're up there wanting to go where they want to go, but they want you to be a part of the team so we can beat the other team. What's happening in the last few years in America, in politics, is the people have jumped over to independent. Okay, 2008, the two parties, especially the Republican Party, got rebuked. Okay, in 2012, the only reason it didn't happen in 2010 is because the Republicans were able to hijack the Tea Party movement and get nothing but Republicans reelected, no people, and there was literally thousands of people across this state. You know, in the state of Florida, there were 702 citizens running for office, and the only person you can dream of in your mind that won that was not a politician was Alan West.
We discussed this 40 million times.
I know, but what I'm saying is whenever you get organized, this is what I do. I don't join no groups. I don't care how good it sounds. I stand alone, and I'm finding that I'm standing not alone. There's a lot of people with me because right now in Florida, 49% of the people are independent, 40% at a federal level. That means the Republican Party is the minority. They cannot win. They can't beg enough independent.
All right, and I've got this to say to you. You can stand alone all you want to. But if you're talking about we've got to do something to take this country back,
Yes. Can
you yourself, standing alone out there waving your flag, telling the world how good you are because you're an independent, can you do it by yourself?
I have noticed standing alone, I have more people come alongside me agreeing with me and supporting what I'm doing.
Well, they might agree with you and they may support what you're doing, but are they taking any action?
Yeah, they're involved in it too. They're involved in doing
what they're
doing.
Doing.
And I don't jump on every. I don't see. This is the whole thing. What excites me, it might not excite you, and you might get excited about what I'm doing on some things. But you know, one thing I'm doing that not a lot of people are doing is I'm targeting the ministers, the media ministers like Gary Bauer, Ted Perkins, or Tony Perkins. Janet Parshall, Richard Land, all these people, James Dobson, that have compromised and for the Republican Party, but they're sitting here trying to fight this religious battle. With I keep telling them, you guys turn to the GOP rather than to God. Now you might agree with me, but you ain't gonna spend your time, you know, challenging their minds. But I'm not getting anybody organized to do what I'm doing because. You know, I just do my part and let everybody do their part, and this stuff all works together. Everything is dots getting connected. But whenever they make us cookie cut, I can promise you, like I'll give you a good example. Everybody got onto this Keystone pipeline going from Canada that Obama wouldn't approve, okay? Guess what? I didn't get on that. You know why? Because they know you can get Republicans calling Obama and the Democrats against it, but the Republicans already know we're not going to get that pipeline. So it's going to be built by Chinese. It's going down to the southern part of America, down into the Panama Canal, so that the Chinese, this is the Chinese oil. So why am I going to jump on this case and start yelling it? I'm just being a tool for these fools.
No, this is my thing. I don't care what the Republican Party knows. I don't care what the Democratic Party knows. What I care about is what the average person knows walking down the street, who's willing to pick up that banner, who's willing to pick up that tool to let other people know so other people can join in the fight, not to join the group, but to join in the battle.
Yeah, but the thing is everybody can do what is important to them. And you know, and it's a part of the battle somebody else is doing. And you can, and there, I've seen that after the last election, there was a lot of people that just said, "That's it, I'm out, I quit," because all they were doing is running around calling people, sending emails, and getting in debates. And then at the end, when you see the result, they just lose heart and they just, "I'm out of politics completely. It doesn't work." Okay, well, I can't fight every battle you're fighting. Okay, I'm gonna get burnt out. I need to hit what's important to me, and I promise you what is important to me might not be the same thing you're doing, but it's linked, okay? If
I don't want anything I'm doing is not attached to politics. It's attached to my love for this country and my Constitution.
Well, this is the thing about
politics. To defend my Constitution and my love for this country, I'm going to have to fight the politics that's going on because that's what's taking us down the road.
Well, you got to also see something, that whenever you see all these people with all these issues that we're pounding on, and we're just happy like a bunch of kids and playing with our favorite toy, but they're always doing something else over here that's off the radar screen, and you know what? I'm happy for the guy that notices that and takes it on, and he doesn't have to get the whole crowd to be a part of it. And 'cause eventually, in time, if I need to voice my opinion on that, one of my biggest issues is the oil and the ethanol. You know, not everybody's excited about that, but I'm constantly dealing with politicians on that, and not everybody's interested in it. You know, so I can't say everybody join, make a site and make everybody come and join. And one thing I don't do is I don't sign petitions, okay, because these people, these petitions don't do nothing. They don't do nothing, not anymore. So I just say do what makes you happy. It's like this. I heard a guy one time he was going to preach, and he asked an older preacher, what do I preach on? Because he didn't know the congregation he was going to be preaching to. And he said, preach whatever's on your heart. Because you'll find that whatever excites you, whatever really burns it, you can tell somebody and you'll see the people that have that same interest will perk up. So you just do what's on your heart and you'll have people come alongside of you. But this whole organizing thing, like the Republicans, this is why all of these grassroots groups are tied to the Republicans. Like this Americans for Prosperity, okay? That was founded by Republicans. And, you know, they go around to these Tea Party groups and they give you a seminar on how to take your country back. And then all of a sudden they end it with passing out Mitt Romney bumper stickers and T-shirts. This ain't people.
Ted Cruz.
People. Yeah?
They had, let's see, what is it? Oh, I went to one similar for that. It's they handled Ted Cruz through this last election. And I went thinking I was going to learn something. All I got taught was how to go out there and bang the pavements for Ted Cruz to get elected.
Well, you know,
and I told him what I thought about it.
I've had several politicians, some in the state and the local, want me to get on board and help them. And then they try to make me look like I'm crap. Because, well, I need somebody that's got a backbone. I said, sir, I got a backbone. That's why I just disagreed with you and why I wouldn't endorse you. Okay, he wants me to get out there like a tool and just go crazy, spinning around, getting people to go to his site and look at what he's doing and get votes for him. And what I would do is call these fools up and ask them, one of my biggest questions is, what is your opinion about open primaries? Well, you know, you got to be a Democrat or a Republican to be able to. No. I didn't ask you what we got to do, and then they start giving me this long history of the way things are. So listen, I'm reading the Constitution, and then they tell me. I had a couple of them saying, "Well, I'll have to get a constitutional lawyer to look at this." That's what I'm out of this, man. You don't have to worry about my vote because if you need a lawyer to tell you what the Constitution says, you're not going to do it anyway because the Constitution was written for the people, not for lawyers and politicians. I let them know right away. I'm against you, man, and I will tell people I'm against you and give the reasons why. You know, I just say, you know, America was founded by individuals. The original Tea Party wasn't put together by a group of people that got organized trying to save a political party. They were people who said, you know, I love my freedom more than this, and let's run down here and throw this stuff over into the water.
And it wasn't a terrorist group. They were a group of citizens protesting and showing
that. That's what I said. They were not a group trying to save.
To know the difference between terrorism and protest, they need to go to the dictionary or call me. I can explain it to them.
Well, I didn't say the word terrorist.
I know, but
no,
I was thinking about what...
That's what they're teaching in schools now. This is Common Core and all this other nonsense is doing this, while the 9/11 attacks were freedom fighters. That's what Common Core is doing. That's the brainwashing through the school system.
Guy here in our city, the local newspaper, he put a letter to the editor and explaining why he should be able to teach the kids that the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, was an act of terrorism.
Crazy.
And I'm
absolutely
going, this
crazy
man is teaching in my school?
Well, you think that's my local, Sally knows these people, back during the last administration locally here, they started a project in my community, and they didn't finish it. And they just said they wasn't going to finish it. And so I told the next lady running for my county commissioner, Jennifer Thompson, if you don't even care what she's about. I just said, if you will get this here accomplished, I will not only vote for you, but I'll get out here and put a sign in my yard. I'll send stuff out trying to get people to vote. And she agreed with that. And as soon as she got elected, she says, well, the only way we can finish it is if you make a homeowners association. I'm like, huh.
Yeah,
that's agenda. So I asked him, what about agenda 21? We're fighting. We're still fighting from when she got elected back up till now, trying to get this junk done. Why would you do half of a job and then stop and then use it for collateral to get you to bow down and accept what they want you to do so that they can get more control over you, so that they can, if they don't want a flag in your yard, an American flag in your yard, they can come out there and tell you you need to take it down and put a fine and a lien against your house. See, this thing that people need to understand, homeowners associations was founded by Hitler, and these people studying
that's
all these dictators through history have figured that out.
Yeah, that's the last thing we need. But Jennifer Thompson, she has been such a flip-flopper. I'm telling you, I sure hope she's not in my district, but I'm telling you, she needs to be replaced. She should be a one-termer. And, of course, she was the other one of those out there doing the texting during the meeting, too. So she shouldn't even be on that board. She should have been her, Teresa Jacobs, and Scott Boyd, I think was the other one. They should all three of them should have been removed from that board.
But the problem is, Sally, we ain't the one. The problem, Sally, is we ain't the one that votes them in. There's other people that decides that they're going to get in there, and so that's how that works. That's why she ran one time and couldn't get off the ground, and then once people come to her and got behind her because they told her what she needs to do. And one of them is this Agenda 21. You can't get a red light in front of going out of your housing development on a major highway because we don't have the funding, but she's running around to these community centers and having barbecues so that everybody in that zip code can come together and get to know who their neighbor is. You know, I don't need a mama. I need a commissioner that does the job she got voted to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, never going to be her, unfortunately. Absolutely never going to be her. She's she was a very extreme disappointment because I know exactly what you're talking about, how she was out there ranting one way. And then when I went to a meeting and she was there, I mean, to say she had to be surgically removed, she was so far up the rear end of Jacobs, it would be an understatement. I mean, I've never heard I've heard commissioners, you know, compliment other commissioners or whatever about some of the work. That's all fine and dandy. But she was there drooling over Jacobs. Jacobs had done the best thing, and she did the best deal for us. And she's so wonderful. I mean, it was all I could do not puke. And I thought, you know, you are the biggest two-faced hypocrite. And I'm gonna do what I can to make sure people know the truth about her, and hopefully she doesn't get reelected.
Well, I'm going to hang up and listen, but I want to say to Granny Taft, I've been on the same issues that makes me excited from back in the 90s, okay? I was in the military during that in the 80s and 90s, so a lot of some issues were important to me. And I've never let off of those issues. I don't jump on what someone else decides is we need to get that is important. I do what's important to me, and I have found on a couple of things. Like, one is the Republican Party is over, and I was saying that back in 98 and 2000, and people, you know, you're not a professional, but guess what? We're there now, and I'm having people going, wow, you had something, because you know, you just if you're convinced of something, stay on it until you either lose. I know locally, I've done a lot of issues locally that's important to me, and I've never won one, not one, but one that I took up a politician that wanted to get promoted to his next bureaucratic job, took on the issue that I fought for 3 years for, and he got it done, and it was on his resume. You know, so maybe if I wouldn't have brought it up, he wouldn't have been a snake and seen an issue that he can get some points with, you know. But the thing is what I was trying to do was logical, I guess if he wants to be a snake, he can get it done. But I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you as always, Nathan. So
thank you all. Thank you all for your patriotism. I really do. Whenever this stuff falls apart, I want to be standing beside you.
Yes, we will be. The true patriots will be standing together.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I totally agree with Nathan, too, when he talks about it is up to the people. We all agree. It's up to the people. So 300 million people versus the 545, it's that critical mass that's going to lead the charge. And the thing is, the way we do it.
You
and
know,
in World War II,
you could have 500 people inside of a cage being held by 5 or 10 men that had guns. And how did that happen? It happened in the mind. It happened in the mind. And, you know, nobody wants to be one of those people, those first few people that get shot in the process of overrunning this guy with a gun. But, you know, a crowd runs at him. He's not going to shoot all 500 of you. And when you run over him and you take his gun, and then, you know, but the only reason 5 or 10 men could hold a 500 people and make them do something when there's only one man standing like this, because everybody in their mind don't want to be that first one to get shot. And they'll shoot one guy. They would shoot one guy in front of everybody, and nobody would think, well, there's only one of him, and we could rush him and knock him down, and we at least got his gun. You know, they couldn't think like that, because that's why slavery starts in the mind first. And that's what these Republican and Democrat parties are doing, is they're herding us over here and herding us over there, and they get us busy on these issues. You know what? If they come and get me and make a slave out of me, I will know when they're putting a hook in my nose, I will know I'm becoming a slave. I won't be convinced I'm doing something that to contribute to the crowd. I'll know what's happening, you know? And
go ahead.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, thank you again. Always enjoy your discussion. But it's true. The people, we have to have the courage. Live free or die is what it ultimately comes down to. And stand for what this country believes in, then it's over. If we have become such a weak society, the culture, the spirit of the American person, the American, has dwindled down to so much. But I just so many people truly do believe. Well, there's definitely a lot of us who truly believe, and this is what gives me the faith that we can turn it around. But at the same time, and I mean, today, it just, I couldn't risk, or should I say, I didn't want to waste the chance to talk about how foolish Americans are with what we've allowed to happen here. Because that's really, I think, to me, it was just appropriate. Because we let them brainwash us. You still there?
I agree with you 100%. It drives me crazy. That's like the weekend news. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it anymore. What I hear on the news last night, I hear that Obama is going to start using private and public partnerships in order to fix our infrastructure, because he knows that he cannot get anything done through Congress. So he's going to go out and contract with different companies to fix our infrastructure. Totally against the Constitution. Totally a part of Agenda 21.
Definitely. And what are the two houses of Congress doing? And the truth is, the fact of the matter is, if you were to talk to, I'll say 75% of those in public office today, out of that 545, the majority of them would support public-private partnerships. When all it is it's a land grab, it's a one world order, and it's more taxes. It has absolutely nothing to do with serving the people, which is why I'm going to be doing the transportation shows. And I may still do a transportation show on Wednesday. I got to try it, but Thursday I've already got the Common Core special coming on. But if I don't do it Wednesday, it's going to be next week, and I'm going to start that weekly transportation show, period. I'm going to try to work with Truth About Trucking and maybe do the show right after his. His show is at 9. So I don't know how many people, of course, you're in the Central Time Zone, so what would you think if I was to do an hour show on transportation at 9 o'clock on Thursday nights?
That would make it 8 my time. That'd be fine. I wouldn't mind.
So, anyways, it's a time zone thing, and, of course, my own work schedule and everything. I got to try to put this all together. But I'm going to be doing – the transportation is going to be that one of those key issues. And I may end up doing it on Wednesday nights instead, so that we can somehow work closer with some of the other groups out there that are also fighting the transportation issue.
There you go. See, to me, that's what it's going to take – to accomplish anything. It's not that you're joining a party, and it's not that you're joining a group. What is people of the same mind who are fighting for the same thing are joining together in a united front. You have to do that. I'm sorry. You cannot accomplish it by yourself.
Well, and I think after having spoken to Nathan many times, and if Nathan, you're still listening, you're more than welcome to come back on. It's the Tea Party Express. It's the Tea Party Patriots. The Tea Party Nation. All these groups, Americans for Prosperity, Freedom Works, which Freedom Works is a little bit, they're still leaning towards the GOP. Time and time again, they end up being a wing of the Republican Party instead of being the Tea Party movement. If it would have just been true Tea Party movement, it would have been fine.
That was an aftermath, though. The original people that came together.
Yeah, exactly.
The original people that came together, there was no leader, there was no one. They just all came together for a common goal. And that's what I'm saying we need to see happen again. That, yes, did they eat up with the dumbass? Yeah, they did, because they went in there and they got all Google-eyed when you know, some GOP person walked in and went, yeah. But I don't think they started out as a Republican group.
No, they didn't. And that's absolutely true.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the Republican Party who came in and hijacked it. The Republicans hijacked it.
Well, but the only way the Republican Party did was because enough of them fell in line and went for it. But we have those of us that are going to come together to fight the rest of this. We don't have to fall in line and fall for it.
And I didn't. And I'll tell you, when I was up there on the Hill for the Obamacare stuff, I was there, and I remember talking to true Tea Partiers, but before the conversation would be over, they would say they had to vote for the Republican. And I said, but that's the Republican's part of the problem, too. You got to. And they wouldn't totally deny, but then they kept that sheeple thing that they had to follow. They had to follow the party.
No, but again, and we've discussed this before, I don't think had they had another choice to vote for, because of the two-party system we've got, all they knew was they did not want to vote for a Democrat. That, you know, you've got to remember this. If there were three parties out there, they'd have probably voted for somebody else if they had another choice. But
well,
the way the voting system is set up, they have no other choice. That's like you're not voting. What did you accomplish?
I will not vote for people that I don't believe in.
I understand what you're saying.
I can be criticized all I want to.
No, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, I knew when I went to the poll and voted that I wasn't going to accomplish a damn thing. But I voted. Now, the reason I knew I wasn't going to accomplish anything was not because I wholeheartedly felt like my vote wasn't going to count, because I wholeheartedly knew that the votes were rigged anyway.
Well, of course, I talked about that earlier. Yeah, we absolutely do not have the representation of our choice.
No.
Anybody that thinks that we have honest elections or that we get to elect the people of our choice is obviously the April Fool's Day.
When they have a community that has a total of 90 people living in it, and they have 190 people vote, you tell me.
Right. Right. Yeah, well, that's it. It was a corrupt election, then they ignored the veterans' votes. They didn't vote to add them in. And all the electronic machines can be rigged so easily, nobody did anything. And then, of course, the GOP wouldn't challenge anything.
Why have the Republicans in this country, this is the points that get to me. The Republicans in this party, in this country, the majority of them, know that the Republican Party made a deal with Obama not to challenge the election. So why are they not yelling and screaming to get these damn people out of there? But nothing's being said. Nothing's being done. These are the things that drive me crazy.
So why would, for the Republican Party to even make such a deal, we'll know it's corrupt, but we won't say anything about it. I mean, come on. But again, it just shows what the Republican Party shows us, all one big party is all it is.
I understand,
but the
big argument is, where in the hell are the people who are supporting the Republican Party? Why aren't they mad as hell, and why aren't they working on fixing this problem?
Well, it's because the Republican Party is all controlled by a group of elitists at the top, and the rest of the Republicans are the sheeple. I mean, same old, nothing new there. If you don't have the money, they're not gonna listen to you. They'll go out there and throw a few bones your way, whatever it is they think they're gonna pacify you. Just like exactly what the Republican Party is doing to the Latino wooing routine is what they think about all the other Republicans out there. Now they think they can brainwash you into thinking that you're going to like them. Or now, just like Jeff Flake, well, yeah, we'll support a gay a candidate that believes in gay marriage. And it's like, well, wait a minute, then what are you standing for? That's not the way. If you truly believe in something, if a party stands for anything, then you can't just keep, well, wait a minute, we realize the numbers aren't going this way, so we have to change what we think. So, okay, I believe in God today, but the thing is, most of the people voting out there are atheists, so I'm going to stop believing in God because most of them are. That's as much as what the Republican Party is. From now on, Republicans, you're going to have to be atheists because there's more atheists out there. You're not allowed to believe in God anymore. That's
now, three-quarters of them that claim they're atheists aren't atheists. It's just cool to say it.
Well, that's not my point, but you know that. There was an atheist on one of the Sunday talk shows when they were talking about the gay marriage routine, whatever, and that kind of thing. But, I mean, it's the mentality, the politically correct, and all the other crap is like, we're going to change the meaning, we're going to use the definition that we think is what's going to help us get elected. It has nothing to do with what we believe in, nothing what we stand for, whatever. I mean, how many Republicans believe in God? Who knows? You can't tell by the craziness of what they do. You know, you really can't, because they claim to be this, but, you know. And then, of course, my criticism has long been in it, especially after, you know, watching the Bible for the past few weeks and all this, and it's like, how many people are in public office today who, during their election process, during their candidacy, make sure they get a picture right out in front of a church? Yet they go in there and they stab the backs of the people who they're supposed to protect. There can be no more evilness than that, and that doesn't matter what side you're on. That's the Democrats and the Republicans, all one big mess. Real quick, before you say anything else just yet, let me mention, I wanted to mention that, believe it or not, Florida actually does have some pro-liberty bills out there in Tallahassee. So I want to just mention a couple of those, and then just so people can know, believe it or not, we do have pro-liberty people out there, but you really got to look for them. In Florida, it's Senate Bill 584 by Senator Alan Hayes, purchase of land by government entity, and this is going to restrict the ability of the state and local governments to purchase conservation land, and I won't go into the whole deal, but that's that. People need to look at it. It's referred to as the Environmental Preservation, Conservation, Community Affairs, Judiciary, Appropriation. Don't ask me to say that all over again, but that's part of it. Okay, then we have, this is Senate Bill 92/House Bill 119, the Freedom of Unwarranted Surveillance Act. This is going after those crazy red light cameras and all of the forms of surveillance. You're not supposed to be spied on as Americans. And, well, there's a couple. Let's see, that one. I don't want to say things. Okay, I'm not going to say that one. I don't know enough about it. Repeal of the Florida Renewable Fuel Standard Act. That way we don't have to go along with a 10% ethanol. That's another one. And then House Bill 4111, the use of red light cameras. That's another one going after that surveillance stuff. So believe it or not, here in Florida, we are actually getting some pro-liberty things out there. There's still some anti-liberty, but at least there's a few good ones. So I want to make sure I got those kind of out there. And let's see, we got 8 minutes. Actually, 6 minutes, excuse me. Can't do my math too good. 6 minutes left. What else is on your mind for today?
Well, just tell everybody to get and look those bills up and get in touch with your legislators that have got them proposed and get on the horn and start letting people know they want them passed.
And right now, while these people are on recess, I have to go out there and find out where the mobile Marco Rubio is going to be, because I'm going to make sure I get in his face and tell him no amnesty, which I did actually send something. Let me see if I can find my note. I faxed my message to Mr. Rubio's office, and I'll read it real quick. Latino Marco Rubio versus Americans, because that's what I believe it is. Have you forgotten your oath of office? And then I have the oath of office. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to do the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office for which I am about to enter, so help me God. That's their oath, and I fax that to them. And then down below I put, secure our borders, stop Latino invasion of America, secure our borders, stop Al-Qaeda terrorist invasion of America. What about securing the homeland, you know, what a concept? Legal immigration, not amnesty. It's time for pro-Latino Marco Rubio to become pro-constitutional and pro-American instead of being pro-Latino and anti-American. Rubio is more of the same hypocritical, liberal, progressive GOP, no GOP in 2016.
Very good.
Spread the word, because that's what it is, and I'm telling you, I'm going to make sure I get in his face somewhere along the way in his mobile whatever he's doing, because remember, he wouldn't have town hall meetings. He wouldn't do that. So while he's roaming about in his mobile whatever to try and brainwash people into supporting amnesty, I'm going to make sure I get there and have my little sign and have my hand out. Here we go. Here's what it is. So that's
there you go. That's my Sally.
That's right. And tell those idiots called McCain and Graham and others. Jeff Flake, he's a part of the Gang of Eight, but he was not quite as pro-amnesty as what the others. He was actually pushing back some. So I thought that was good. And then, of course, we've got Rand Paul doing his thing out there. And I really do believe between the gun ban, all this craziness on the gun control, and the immigration, there's going to be some filibusters out there.
Well, I sat out on the porch the other night, and I'm going, I don't know if I can take much more of this. I just, the more I think about Congress and the more I think about my state senators and you're not hearing anything. You're not seeing anything from them. They're not doing anything. They're sitting on their butts up there.
Yep.
And then
they're all trying to run for cover because wait a minute. 2014, there's another election right around the corner, not to mention 2016.
Well, I know that. But and another little tidbit for today. Did you know there's black boxes in the new cars coming out, and there's already black boxes in some of the new cars that are out? And these black boxes take record of everything you do and how you drive, where you go, and what you do.
Yeah, it's my understanding they've been out there for quite a while, and the GPS stuff and all that all ties into it. All these built-in GPS systems all ties into that stuff.
I heard that, and I said, oh, my. One more thing to add to the stack of 1,000 other things that you've got to just be disgusted about in this country today.
Exactly, and hopefully I need to read all the details on the Freedom of Unwarranted Surveillance Act. I want to see how much of this is prohibiting this other kind of stuff going on where they're spying on us. It's just so anti-American. Totally.
Well, progressive insurance is putting it out there. They're telling you, use this little thing and put it in your car and let us see how you drive.
Oh, yeah, that's progressive insurance. Yep, progressive and progressive insurance. It's the reason why it's called progressive insurance.
No.
Okay, well.
Yep. I knew about that, but the fact that they're hidden in these cars, we know nothing about them,
yep.
and it's just an invasion of your privacy. That's just all the hell there is to it.
It is. Well, we're down to 1 minute. I totally agree with you, and we should pick up that conversation, but not Thursday, because Thursday we're talking Common Core. And you're going to tune into that, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you as always. Any quick word before we go?
Oh, God bless America, and God bless you for all that you're doing, Sally, and your tenacity. You stick with it. And love America. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you, and that sums it up. Love America. Be Americans. Let's be united as Americans. And please, please, God bless America and protect us, please. Thank you, and tune in on Thursday. Have a good night, everyone. Good night.